Turn over in your Bibles this morning. We're in John chapter 9. And you'll look down there on the page to verse 8 is where we're going to start. John chapter 9, verse 8. This morning, we're going to look at confusion or resignation. You can't have both. Confusion or resignation. Read with me, starting in verse 8, please. The neighbors and those who had seen him before. Now him, we probably need to catch up. This is the guy that was blind, born blind. And Jesus healed him. Put mud on his eyes, spit on the ground, made mud, put it on his eyes. Told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He did, and he could see. So the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It's he." Others said, "No, but it looks like him." He kept saying, "I'm the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash, wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Well, where is he?" He said, "I don't know." Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, again, "He put mud on my eyes, I washed, I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man," meaning Jesus, "this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them, so that they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind, that he had received his sight. They called his parents, the parents of the man who was blind, the one who had received his sight, and asked them, "Is this your son you say was born blind? How then now does he see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son. We also know that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." Again, we're going to look at confusion or resignation this morning. Through this account that we just read, there's a problem in Jerusalem. There's a problem in Jerusalem. And Angela, this right where you're living, okay? Same place. You probably walk where this guy was, okay? I don't know. There's a problem in Jerusalem because a man who was blind can now see. Not only blind, we're not talking about some poor visual acuity here. We're not talking about some cataracts or whatever. We're talking about born blind. Never been able to see. And Jesus healed him. He could see. Now, you say, well, what's the problem with that? Did you notice as we read through this passage, there's almost a complete absence of rejoicing? Now, I don't know about you, but if one of you were blind here this morning and the Lord touched you and you could see, we're high-fiving all around. Right? We'll go into the afternoon. We'll skip lunch. Man, the Lord is here. Not here, though. Maybe the blind man, we can see some rejoicing in it. Nobody else. Not the neighbors. Not his family, his mom and dad. Nobody's rejoicing. Not the people down at the church, the synagogue, the religious. Nobody's rejoicing. Why? Because they're confused. You heard it as I heard it. Isn't this the guy that was born blind? I don't think so. That guy, you know, he's blind. This guy can see. Well, sure looks like him. Confusion. The parents are confused. The religious leaders are confused. And folks, confusion is around us today too, isn't it? We could go up and down the rows and we would find a number of you, including myself. I'm confused. You see, it didn't start on this day and this time. It didn't start in our lives. Actually, it started in the garden. I mean, there was Adam and Eve. Adam created in the image of God and after His likeness. You remember? And then he was lonely. He saw that it was just him, and God created a helpmate, Eve. And then everything is still going great. Sorry, ladies. Everything is still going great. They are in charge of God's garden. And then one day, the serpent brought confusion into their lives. Hath God said, he said to Eve? And she responded, we can eat of every fruit except the one in the midst of the garden. He said, you know about that. When you eat that, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. Confusion. Confusion. And Eve did eat and gave to Adam, and he did eat. But Satan lied to him. He's a father of lies. They wouldn't be like God. They were like God, created in his image after his likeness. They were holy. But when they sinned, when they disobeyed, they became sinners. And they are not like God, like Satan said. It all started with confusion. It all started with confusion. There was no confusion until Adam and Eve ate. Confusion then and now exists when we try to fit God's work and will into our lives. That's where the confusion starts. And I want to say to us today, confusion is on us. God very plainly and directly says in Scripture, He is not the author of confusion. If there is confusion in your life today, on any area, whatever it is, God is not the author of that confusion. Okay? Well, there was confusion in Jerusalem, to say the least. And I would hasten to add that confusion ends and only ends when we yield to what God says and is doing, when we resign to Him. There is confusion. And there is resignation. Resignation is believing God. What He has said. Believing His truth. So I want us to look this morning at three things. And Andy, they all start with P's. Okay? All right. We're on a roll, aren't we, huh? First of all, we're going to look at perspective. How people see things. That's perspective. Then we're going to look at position. The position that some of the folks in this account held. And then finally, we're going to look at the issue of priority. Priority, as it comes out in some of these folks' lives. Well, let's begin with perspective, okay? Everybody has a perspective, and there's some folks in this passage that have perspective. First of all, there's the neighbor's perspective. The neighbors. We know what neighbors are. They're the folks across the street, next door, over on the other block, up the road, across the valley. Neighbors. We know about neighbors. Some neighbors we know better than other neighbors. Some neighbors we know everything about them, it seems like. Back in the day when we had party lines, you got to know your neighbors very well. If you were real careful, you could hold down on the telephone, landline, no iPhones, okay, and let it up really easy and listen into the conversation of the other folks on your party line. All right? Most people got wise to that, and midway through the conversation, they say, John, I know you're listening, okay? But we knew our neighbors, okay? This guy had neighbors. All right? The scripture says the neighbors and those who had seen him. You see, tolerate my explanation of this, okay? The neighbors knew about the blind man. That's Ralph and Madge's boy. Okay? You know, lives up the street from us. Oh, I remember when they were expecting a child. And they were so excited about it. Maybe they might have a boy. That's a big deal in that land. Still is, and a little bit in our land today. Sorry, ladies, okay? I remember when our firstborn was born. Back in that day, you didn't know what he or she was before he or she was. Wanted a boy. In fact, I made this deal with God. I grew a mustache, and if God gave me a boy, I'd shave the mustache. Yeah. For you that are still trying, grow your mustache. I got three boys out of the deal. All right? But they knew these folks. And the baby was born. They brought it home from the hospital. That's not right either, okay? And all of those hopes, that anticipation, shattered. They had a boy, but he was blind. And so that little guy grew up in this neighborhood. And the people knew him, and his mom and dad knew what was going to happen. He would be very difficult to care for as a blind child. And then one day, when he left their house, he would be a beggar for as long as he lived. Born blind, die blind, beggar all through his adult years. And so there's confusion. They knew the guy. Some said it was their son. Their neighbor, others said, no, it's not. It looks like him, but it can't be because he was born blind. But now, he's not blind. He can see. You see, there's a point of resignation that they skipped. And the point of resignation is what God says and does trumps what we as human beings think or have experienced. And you don't have to understand to believe. Now, I know some of you are flinching about that time. I don't understand how that Jesus' death on the cross can forgive me of all of my sins. I do not understand that. But I believe it. I don't believe how he can die, be buried, and 3 days later, come to life. Cognitively, I don't understand that, but I believe it. And I don't understand how he's coming again in the air and will catch me up to be with him for all eternity. I don't understand eternity. But I believe, and many of you share that belief. You see, you don't have to believe. You don't have to understand to believe. All we have to do is resign. Resign means to give up and give over to Him and what He says. When we resign to Him, our understanding is based on His power and sovereignty and not on our ability and expertise. That's a rough hill to get over, isn't it? We demand to have all the answer. The reason these people were confused there in Jerusalem was because they weren't controlling the situation. They couldn't explain it. And when we try to explain something that we can't explain, confusion results. These folks made a mistake then. They turned on the wrong road. At this point, when they could have resigned and said, okay, Jesus, the man who healed, is the Christ. Instead, they went to the Pharisees for answers, to the religious experts. We'll say a little bit more of that in just a minute. Instead of turning to God for the answer, or entrusting their lack of understanding to Him, they chose to go to people, to experts. Now, folks, may I say to you, when you're confused, I don't care what it's about. Should you take this job or that job? Should you marry him or her? Should you do this, that? I don't care what it is, the point of confusion in your life. As a child of God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, okay, don't go to people for the answer unless He directs you to. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. That's where the truth is. That's where the resignation comes. And I know we want the answer, you know, push, pull, click, click, get your answer that quick stuff. Right? Drive through and pick it up on the way home. This may take you weeks or months or years, but all you'd care about is what He says. And He has said what He's saying in His Word. And you're going to come to those places where you read it and your resignation is just not there for you. Because you want it so bad, whatever it is. Resignation is giving over to. If you don't, you're still going to be confused. Search the Word in context, the whole Word. All right? Search the Word in context, the whole Word. Don't do what a lot too many folks are doing today, and go through and cut out that little phrase. Okay? You know, it said over there, you know, this. May I remind you, it says over there like this. In one place it says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. In another place it says, go ye there and do likewise. Connect those two. We're not willing to do that, are we? We're only willing to grab hold of somebody else's promise that's not our promise in Scripture or something we want to hear. Study the whole Word in context, every bit of it. And it's going to take you some time. And all the benefits of the time you spend in the Word seeking Him. John's going to say later in the book of 1 John, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. For not every spirit is from God, but only those spirits who confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, those are of God. If that's not the case, that spirit is Antichrist. Well, that's the neighbor's perspective. Let's look at the man's perspective, okay? You read it with me a while ago. He kept saying, I'm the man. I'm the guy that was blind. That's me. I'm the same man. I was blind and now I can see. He didn't analyze. He didn't wonder. He didn't question. I was blind. Jesus made the mud, and he didn't know him by name at that time. Jesus made the mud, anointed my eyes, and I washed. Went and washed in Siloam as I was told, and now I can see. That's all we need. I was lost. I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I abide in His words. That's it, folks. We don't need to analyze it. We don't need to check it out with, or we don't need to... That's it. That's our testimony. This was His testimony. That's our testimony. He said, I was blind and now I can see. I was lost, but now I'm found. He gave God the credit. He didn't take credit. He believed. And may I hasten to say to you, it cost Him everything. You read on a little bit. Cost Him everything. He lost His standing in the community. He is put out of the synagogue. That's a big deal for the Jewish folks. He is ostracized by the community, by His family. But folks, what a small price to pay to be able to see and live eternally. Have you paid that price? Have you paid that price? Instead of joining these naysayers, He gave God the glory. Later on in this, we didn't read it this morning, but we will in the coming weeks by His grace. And so they wanted to know, where is He? He being Jesus, the one who had gave Him sight. Where is He? They said, we don't know. They asked the man, who is He? Said, He's a prophet. That's about as big as he could go in his day. Okay? All right. So those are the perspectives of the neighbors and the man. Now let's look at this issue of position. Actually, this is the perspective of the experts, the religious experts. It would have been much less confusing, folks, if everybody would have just believed the obvious. But they insisted on digesting the event. Instead of resigning to God's authority, they are going to explain it. They're going to have to ruminate on it and understand it. And confusion reigns. And it reigns for you and I when we try to understand that which only God can understand, or which we are unwilling to let go of this to get this. We get confused. Okay? There is no confusion in resignation. Getting to that place where, if you'll excuse it, I just don't give a rip, Lord. I just want to be in the center of Your will for me. That's resignation. That's resignation. You know how they capture monkeys in Brazil? They put a bottle out there, okay? And they put a banana in the bottle. And the bottle has a slim neck on it, just big enough for the monkey to get his hand down in the bottle. He reaches down and there grabs the banana, and the rope's tied over here, and he's caught. He won't let go of the banana, and they just reel him in. How many of you are holding a banana today that you won't let go of? See what I'm saying? Confusion. If you'll let go and give over, the confusion is gone. Notice how the confusion is compounded as they bring the man to the Pharisees. The Pharisees have a position. They are the keepers of the law. The spokesman for God, if you will. They're the religious experts. Folks, I want to say to you, the last thing that you need in any situation is a religious expert. All right? You say you're kind of calling the fire in on your own position, aren't you, Buster? No, I'm not. If I'm a religious expert, this will be the last day that you see me. Okay? But we want to run to this religious expert. Let me say to you, there's a difference between a religious expert and a spiritually minded servant. And I'm not going to put myself in that crowd, nor is Andy, okay? But we're certainly not going to get in the religious expert line. There is a difference between a spiritually minded servant and a religious expert. I'd recommend highly that you stay away from the experts. You see, the Pharisees asked the same question to the man. The man repeats the same answer. And then the Pharisees did something that the neighbors didn't do. Did you notice that? What they basically said was, he, Jesus, is not of God. He, Jesus, is not of God. Why? Only God could open a man's eyes. The crowd knew that. He is not of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Jesus performed two miracles in Jerusalem. He performed many others up north in Galilee. And both of them had to do with a pool. Did you notice that similarity? One was at the pool of Bethesda, the other is at the pool of Siloam. And he did both of them, one crippled man, one blind man, on the Sabbath. He's calling them out, isn't he? Huh? And so they have decided, because he doesn't keep the Sabbath, he's a sinner, and no sinner can do what this man's done. Are you confused yet, also? He did it. He did it. And you say a sinner can't, and that he's a sinner, but he did it. We got a problem, don't we? Two opposites can't both be correct. How can a sinner do such? The folks there, I imagine those Pharisees got awful nervous at this time, because now it's the serve into their court, and they've got to answer that question. Okay? If you say that a sinner can't do it, and he did it, how can a sinner do it? And the Pharisees, actually, their position was, listen to this, we determine who is God. They didn't say that, but that's the strong implication. Oh, friend, brother, sister, don't go there. Don't ever go there. Don't ever get in the place of saying that something is of God or it's not of God. Do you know what we call this? Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Attributing the works of God to the devil is the ultimate, okay? That's why that passage, it troubles so many, whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit, every sin can be forgiven of you, but not that one. Well, what is that? Because I want to steer around that one as best I can. Attributing the works of God to Satan. We'll leave that one lay. We know the law. We're the experts in the law. He did this on the Sabbath. Therefore, he's a sinner. Therefore, he can't heal the man. Jesus would play the trump card later on when he would say, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. That law that you're interpreting, you got it from me, is what he's saying. He was the giver of the law. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit gave the law. Wouldn't it be much easier, much simpler, just to resign and believe? You know all those questions you have? I don't care to, you know, list them out there, okay? But they're out there. Abortion, same-sex marriage, do this, not do that, get married, divorce, not... Oh! You got a grocery cart? We can fill it this morning. All those points of confusion. as our culture steps up and say, that's truth. And God's Word says, that's not truth. Go with His Word. Go with His Word. Okay? He's not confused. He's not the author of confusion. Culture never defines truth. God defines truth based on what He says and what He sees. You walk in that and you will not be confused. But the Jews didn't believe. They wanted more information. They have a plan. Go get the parents. Go call the parents. We have a strong suspicion that, one, this is probably not the same guy, and two, he probably wasn't born blind if it is. Go get the parents. And so they go get the parents, and we want to look at the perspective of the parents based on the point of priority. The parents didn't resign either. They are seeing the miracle of their lives. That baby boy that they brought home who was blind all through his childhood, and they told the Pharisees, this is our son, and he was born blind. Uh-oh. Now what are you going to do, Pharisees? You lost that out. But these parents, seeing the miracle of their lives, this hope of this male child that they had had all the time until they had him, they now reject him. They now reject him in favor of some socio-religious status. If they agree that this man called Jesus healed him, they're out of the synagogue too. And folks, they chose this religious affiliation to fit into the community over their son who was blind but can now see. I read that. I read it again and again and again. I said, there's got to be something wrong here. Parents would never make a decision like that, but they did. God had worked a miracle of miracles among them. To their son, I would imagine that these poor folks prayed every day, God, give our son his sight, heal him, or something to that effect. I don't know if they burned candles, Angela, at the synagogue, I don't know, okay? Or whatever they do, okay? Prayer vigils or something, okay? They're already as guilt-ridden as they can be. What sin did we commit to cause him to be born blind? Everybody else knew it. Jesus already corrected that, remember? And when it came to reaching out and hugging that boy, that man now, say, oh son, all of your life we've hoped that one day you would see. And now you can. Come on home, son. No more begging for you. No. Didn't happen. They stepped back and they said, hey, he's of age. Go ask him. Because they wanted to stay in the in crowd. They wanted to be with the folks down at the church. That was more precious to them than their son. Now, folks, who's blind? The man born blind can now see and live eternally. The parents who thought they could see are really blind and will die for all eternity. Oh, folks. They chose enslavement with the religious shackles that are a part of any religion. Did I sin? Will I be forgiven? Is what I'm doing enough? Will I be banished to hell? They chose shackles for life. over the same freedom that their son had, they could know that as well. They rejected the grace and mercy of loving God, who had given their son sight, not because he deserved it, not even because he asked for it, but because he's full of mercy and grace. They rejected that to be enslaved to this socio-religious system that was so precious to them. Do you have anything like that in your life? You're clinging to something. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a bank account. Maybe it's standing in the community you're the president of. I can't fill all the answers. You've got to help me a little bit here. Whatever it is, it's that thing the Lord's putting in your mind right now. Anything that you wouldn't give up if He asked you to. Now we're there. Family. I said it. Oh, God would never do that. Oh, how many He has through the centuries. Some of you know that, don't you? Because your parents have basically thrown you out because you came to faith in Christ. I'll never forget what Joanna's mom told her. Not what he told, but what her campus pastor told her a long time ago. He said, our parents want us to be religious, but not too religious. She was going to Mexico and served down there, and her mom was not in favor of it all. I wasn't a part of the equation at that time. But she's told me the story. Mom and Dad, have you given yours up and over to Him? Huh? Are you trying to live vicariously through those kids? Whereas you want them to be a big deal. Have we need to say it again? There are no big deals in Bolivar, Missouri. Men, women, boys or girls, no big deals. We're all sinners. Saved by grace or yet to believe. There are no big deals. Oh, but how tempting it is. I've lived there. I've walked there. How tempting it is to want your son or daughter to be whatever. I was talking to the Brown boys a little earlier, and they're having a pretty good football season over at Stockton. And it's either going to continue or be over with next week, okay? And I said, then you'll get your patch. They kind of looked at me like, you know, what are you talking about? A patch. Sew it on your coat. Or get your letter jacket. All right? And then if you're in wrestling or track, you get medals and you jingle when you walk, you know. Okay? And, oh, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Because it says, look at me. I got a patch. Okay? And I'll promise you, I'm not, in their case, this doesn't apply, but I tell you, in most of those cases, Jeff, you know this, moms and dads want their kids to be the star. And they'll pay almost any price to get it. Give them up, parents. Give them up for that which is eternal, not temporal. Because I want to tell you, I know how many people are going to make the NBA. Nobody in this room. Nobody in this town. Maybe nobody in this state. Or the NFL, or Major League Baseball, and all those other things where parents live vicariously through their kids. If you don't do your work at home and ground them in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing else matters. These parents set the priority of their life, and that priority was the synagogue down the street. They were not going to give that up, even for their son. Social pressure is heavy, isn't it? It is heavy. choose the priorities of this life over resigning to Him, and you'll live out your days confused. Every day you get up, confusion. At every turn, confusion. You resign, and you live with what Andy shared with us last week, the joy, the peace, the patience, those fruit of the Spirit. They made a choice, folks. All of these different people, the neighbors, the Pharisees, the parents, they all made a decision, and they chose confusion over resignation. What are you going to choose? Let's pray. Father, we know this issue of confusion so well. Lord, it's a constant challenge in our lives. In every domain, it seems. But Lord, we also know the times that we give up and give over to You and resign to You in that situation, that we're no longer confused. Now we're rejoicing. Father, I pray that we would have eyes to see today. See Jesus for who He is, like the man did. I pray, Father, the priorities of our life would be You first, always. Help us, I pray, to walk in resignation. In Jesus' name. You come this morning if we can.